Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who appreciates a nice hot meal at a fair price, Pete Chwaba.
So, I'm getting an education here on flutes from my guest, Chef Ace Champion. He is in the studio with me here on Nightlight tonight. There's something about Friday night that's just like perfect for music. Conrad, would you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. I knew he was going to say yes.
Was he going to say no?
No, Pete, I totally disagree. Let's have some spoken word. Tomorrow is the Wisconsin Flute Festival in Madison. Chef Ace will be there. And he, I mean, that was like an education I just got during the break. And you've got at least, what, 10 flutes here right now?
Yep, 10 flutes.
They all have different
harmonica
sounds. Yeah. What? Give us, give people an idea of what... something you just kind of, whatever one you want to play. I mean, they're all different in their own way, but explain a little bit of the nuance before you play and whichever one.
Well, the last one that I just played for you that you seem to resonate with is actually a Chinese flute. So it's called a Chinese shao. It is meant for sound therapy. They use it for traditional, you know, entertainment too as well. But back in the ancient days when people had mental disorders and, you know, just bad energy that they couldn't shake off, you know, there was no pills and stuff. So they went to, you know, a shaman or some type of healer, and they would play these flutes and drums. So the vibrations in the instruments actually react with the cells in your body, and that's what promotes the different chemicals to be released in your body that naturally heals you.
Yeah. Nobody thinks about that when they listen to music. You know what I mean? Like,
they do in the ancient world.
I guess
just,
so.
They have forgotten, and we need to
they
remind
had more
them.
Time to ponder then,
they
don't
did.
You think?
They
I mean,
did.
They had to find their food, but
yeah.
That had to be stressful.
Yeah, after they found their food, they could sit around and play
it
a little music.
It was all about the music, right, exactly. Well, we'd love to hear something else, whatever you're feeling.
You seem
like a guy that has this like zest for knowledge and improving yourself. Like when I think about what you were telling me with your cooking and how you just go into it full force, and with the flute, you said you've been playing these for a year and a half.
Yes.
And you're consuming them and you can't get enough. Is that just a zest for life that you have?
It is.
Did that come from a revelation at some point in your life?
No, it was. Now that, you know, as I'm getting a little older, you know, it's like, I'm going to do what I love and what makes me happy. And if I find something, I'm going to take it as far as it'll let me take it, you know. And the first time I blew into the flute, I knew it was for me. And I never played an music instrument a day in my life. Like, I have no musical background or anything like that. But I watched a lot of YouTube videos and just sat there. Instead of letting someone else teach me, I let the instrument teach me how I can play it, because it'll let me know when I'm not playing it right.
Right.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
So it's Chef. Tell us your website again.
Chefchampion.com. Chefchampion.com.
And you can check out, you've got music there.
Yep. I got a music page on there. I have my TV series page on there, so you can watch some of the videos from the show on demand. My menu's on there. So if you're looking for a private personal chef in home, it's definitely on there. And then I teach cooking classes to the public too as well. A couple wineries and distilleries.
Nice. Do you have your own, like, do you, for, on your TV show, do you provide the music for that? With
I did this year. This was because obviously the last season I produced was before pre-COVID. So we took about a 3-year break. So this season 7, my vision was every, because we had 4 different cultures on there. Hispanic, we had some Hmong, some African-American, and each one I played a flute based on that region. So we ate the food and we listened to the music.
Oh, very cool.
It's pretty epic.
So you did a concert recently at the Tarleton.
Yeah.
Carl's been in here before, a great guy. How did the awesome concert guy. Go?
Yeah, Tarleton actually gave me my first debut. I actually did my first concert 6 months into playing.
That's risky.
It was. But when you have no teacher, you have to throw yourself out there. And then I'm a student of myself. So I took notes on the things I did wrong and the things I did right. And I was able to pretty much fix them right away.
There is one thing I don't see on your resume, and it's about the only thing you're lacking. Helicopter lessons. Do you give those?
Yeah, I don't like the no, thank you.
We found a chink
in
the armor.
You won't see any mountain climbing or any of that stuff, neither.
All right, so Wendy is watching on the stream. She says, so Ace, what was your first flute?
My first flute was the Native American flute. So, because Native American flute is pentatonic, and it's kind of set up like the recorder, only... It doesn't sound as bad as the recorder, if you can remember that in the 3rd grade. But I'll play a quick little tune. This is in the key of A. This was one of my first flutes.
This is for you, Wendy. That was for you, Wendy.
I just named that song Wendy.
Wendy. I don't know if I should say her last name or not. That's great. Conrad, what do you think so far?
That's just awesome.
He's better at the flute than you, isn't he?
I've never played a day
in
my life.
Have you ever emasculated someone playing the flute? You just did it, I think. Right.
There you go.
So, Chef Ace, okay, so you, on your bio, let's just pivot back to cooking for a second.
Sure.
You say you have a connection between the law of attraction and the power of positive thinking as the cornerstones of your passion for food. Yes. Can you explain that?
Yeah. When, you know, before when I was young and I couldn't control my thoughts, bad things would happen. And, you know, I always played the blame game. And I watched a documentary called The Secret. I would recommend that. And that taught me about the law of attraction. So that basically says that we're all energy and energy is all around us. And we can control the energy through our thoughts. What we think about, we actually attract. So once I learned that, I started to kind of visualize my life and I was like, wow, you know, that is true. A lot of the bad things that were happening to me was because I was thinking of it all the time. You know, I was always broke, but I was always talking about broke. I wasn't saying, man, what am I going to do when I become rich? You know, I didn't have a vision. So once I started concentrating on what I wanted to have happen and not what I don't want to have happen, what I wanted to have happen started to happen.
Positive thinking.
And I brought that right into the kitchen because when I teach, a lot of people are very negative about what they can't do and what they can, and they put themselves in a little box. But when you scratch all that and say, I'm going to do it. If I fail from it, I'm going to learn from it and I'm going to move on. You'll see the magic happens. It's not just for me. It's anybody.
It's like there are no mistakes, only learning experience.
Exactly.
Do you have general rules when it comes to food, stuff you avoid, stuff you try to eat more of?
The big one is cleanliness, you know, just always wash. I know it sounds like you shouldn't be saying that, you know, just be mindful, you know, you touching raw food, you know, make sure you're washing your hands and stuff like that, because you definitely don't want to make anyone sick or anything in that. Right? And really the main rule that I would say is I'm a visionary. So I always tell people before they go into the kitchen, read the recipe, or even if it's a recipe that they've done before, think about it, visualize it, build the muscle memory in your mind and then do it. And then it's going to feel like deja vu versus some people just get a recipe. They go into the kitchen and they try and start cooking and they have no idea what they're doing. They're kind of learning as they go. But if you can just role play in your mind, it tricks the brain into thinking that it's physically doing it, even though it's not.
That's interesting. And what about, like, from a dietary standpoint? Are there types of foods avoid? Or
so really, I'm full game. Anything, I always say cook with live food. So that means if it was once alive, whether plant-based, animal-based, it's good for your body. If it had no soul and it had no energy, meaning chemicals, meaning, you know, high fructose corn syrup, right, all those bad chemicals, those are the ones you stay away from, because I believe those are ones that are solely mainly responsible for a lot of diseases that we have, because your body can't process it.
Right.
You know, we're from the earth. We have elements and molecules and minerals that we can look at outside that are actually inside of us. But all these fake genetically chemical food is not.
We are stardust, so we should be eating stardust, basically.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I like it.
Yes,
I like it a lot. All right, so what we do on this show, aside from your own TV show, we talk about movies and TV.
Nice.
What do you watch? Do you binge watch anything? When you're done with the flute, you put the flute down for the night, you're not cooking, what is Chef Face?
Oh, man. So my wife has actually got me watching 90 Day Fiancé.
Is that like a reality competition?
It's a reality.
Oh, man.
It's not a competition. It's about these people who get with someone from another country and they have like a 90-day visa either decide if they're going to get married or not. And it's just hilarious. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
I like reality shows. It kind of shows me how people really are in the world, you know?
You know, I like them, but they're scripted.
They are. Even a lot of the food shows. A lot of the food shows that you think are live. I was on the Food Network twice. You know, I'm not going to say anymore, but, you know.
Was it not a good experience?
It was a good experience, but it was a lot of double takes and, you know.
Right.
It's 30 seconds. You really got 2 minutes, you know.
They don't just roll the camera and hope to get something. They have a plan.
If you mess up, it will be cut out.
I know. I've been a striking writer before, and one of the big issues was they're writing, but they're trying to skirt around the union to do it. Like, they have a plan. The Kardashians, like, have a plan, you know?
Right.
What about anything else? Like, what kind of shows do you like outside of cooking shows?
I like drama shows.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't mean, like drama, but, like, oh, I hate to say this, but like, not Forensic Files, but, you know, like crime cases, you know, where, and I'm not a dark person at all or anything like that, but I like the chase, you know, the not knowing and then figuring out who it is, you know, that's always intrigued me.
Same. I'm kind of obsessed with those right now.
Yeah.
I've got a show for you, Under the Bridge. It's on Hulu.
Oh, I have Hulu.
It's new.
Okay.
Lily Gladstone, Riley Keough. I just started watching. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Hey, this is really fun, man. You come back anytime.
I'm having a blast.
You want to hang for a bit?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
I got to play the pan flute for Wendy now, because she says it right there. The pan flute sounds awesome. So,
Wendy,
you know,
you are calling the shots tonight, my dear.
I guess so.
Great to have you with us. Chef Ace is going to stick around for another segment. He's in studio. So much fun on a Friday night here at Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
If you would like to answer tonight's question, call or text in at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or text through the Civic Media app. Now, once again, here is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Awesome. Hey, welcome back to Nightlight. Conrad, where'd you get that music? That's the boss.
I got it just on YouTube.
So we can use that?
Yeah.
So you didn't use the actual Springsteen tune, you used like...
It's just an instrumental.
Oh, I like it. Well done, young man. It was Conrad pulling out. He's got his own, he's got a gazoo over there he plays. I have to talk him out of it sometimes.
Nice.
Hey, so today, Chef, is National Garlic Day.
Oh, wow.
Give me your thoughts on garlic.
I love garlic. I literally put garlic in everything but sweet stuff.
Yeah, same.
Oh, yeah.
And there's never enough. Like, I don't care.
Never enough.
Load it up. You're never going to, like, offend me with how much garlic
I teach people that. And I tell them fresh garlic is best in, like, foods that you're going to, like, it's going to dissolve, like soups and sauces. But if you're sautéing vegetables at a high heat or roasting vegetables at 425, the garlic in the jar actually works better. It holds up better.
Like the
mince? Yeah, the mince in the jar. Yeah.
Why is that?
Because fresh garlic is going to want to burn up on you like ASAP. So you don't want to put that much heat on it. But the garlic in the jar, because it's been marinated in olive oil, it kind of abstains its texture and it doesn't burn up as fast.
What if you cook like fresh garlic over a really low heat? Would that taste better or does it matter?
Fresh is always going to be better, but I mean, unless you're like a expert garlic, a lot of the time you're not going to even taste the difference.
Huh?
Yeah. I mean, the garlic in the jar is real garlic. It's not like it's a fake garlic.
Right.
It's
just
you know, a little bit of preservative to keep it on the shelf.
I always feel like when I use that stuff, though, it doesn't, it's not as strong.
No, you know, right.
Which I like. I like the strong flavor.
Well, just add more. When I add the garlic in the jar, I mean, I add a ton.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah.
Hey, tell us about Good Buffalo.
Yeah.
Tell me, you mentioned that during a break. I feel like I can't remember now. We've talked so much during the break. I can't remember what we covered on the air during the break.
Yeah, no, that's my stage name that I go by when I play my flutes. I was actually, believe it or not, ironically, I was demoing Bison at Oneida at their one stop, and I met a chief from Las Vegas, and he loved it because I marinated. I put Cajun. They never had Cajun marinated bourbon. Buffalo before. So when I started my flute journey, I felt like I needed something besides Ace Champion, because that's kind of distinguished to my cooking. And he went to like a 2-day meditation. He came back and he said, Good Buffalo. So then when I looked up what Good Buffalo meant, I mean, they're majestic. They're such beast animals to where when no matter what the weather is, no matter what problems they have, they put their big heads down and they just move forward over anything. Like, nothing can stop a buffalo. And I'm like, dang on it, that is me. That is me. I wanted to be a tiger or a lion, but, you know, when I know the meaning, that's definitely who I am.
So how can people find your cooking classes? You say they're always sold out. How far ahead do you have to look into it?
I teach at Monerals Winery, Paradise North Distillery. I'm doing classes at the Botanical Garden, too, as well. I'm even up in Menominee, Michigan at Spirit House.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, at Three Bridge Bridgeries.
That's my hood, man. You got to let me know when you're out there.
Three Bridges Brewery. I teach cooking classes there. And then the Spirit House Distillery, which used to be a funeral home, I'm teaching there. They can just go on my website. There's a tab on there that says upcoming events, and I post all my cooking classes. I post all my music events.
I was at a party at the Spirit House over the holidays, and I was at a funeral there like a year ago.
Yeah, I know.
And I didn't put this together. Spirit House, like booze.
Yes.
I'm assuming it has a double meaning, and that's why they chose that. But if they don't, that's hilarious too.
Yeah.
So what's next for you?
Yeah, whatever comes, I found out that I'm on my path. So by being on my path, what is meant for me will show up. I don't have to really have a 5-year plan anymore. Speaking of funerals, I just played. I had a neighbor who was really dear to me, and he was sick, and he was half Native American. I went over and I played some flutes for him, and he asked me, "Would you play for my funeral?" And 3 months later, he passed away, and 3 weeks later, I was at his funeral playing my flutes, which I never in a million years would say I would be playing at a funeral. It was
especially for a Native American guy.
Right. It was amazing. I mean, people were so moved. I mean, I wasn't up there well in the way. Just when people were talking, I was kind of playing soft. When there wasn't talking, I would kind of play a little bit louder. And it just changed the whole mood because the flutes calm you down.
Yeah.
And you think of a funeral, there's anxiety, there's stress, people are crying. That really helped with that. There wasn't a lot of crying. It was a lot of laughing and a lot of just feeling good.
That's pretty cool. You said you're married. Is your wife, is she as busy as you?
She's a massage therapist and an herbalist. So she's pretty busy too as well. She's the one who got me into the whole sound therapy and sound healing and stuff like that.
You guys must be like the most chill couple.
Well, between, you know, the flutes there's, and the there's massage. Chill and then there's storms, you know. Any married couple will tell you that.
Is there anything you want to complain about with your wife on the air here so everybody can hear it?
I love my wife. Happy life, what? Come
I don't
on
want
now.
To get you in trouble, Chip. I appreciate your time too much.
Yeah.
So, all right, last thing. You were in a movie with Jim Schmidt.
Yes.
Was it hard to hold your... Obviously, you're acting with a major thespian.
Yeah, yeah. That was in my earlier days when I thought I wanted to be an actor. And I was just an extra. And lo and behold, we're both in this jail. And we're playing dominoes together. And he had a little role. I had a little role. And then I didn't see him for like 8 years. And then home and load, we call him back. And then we're back on the show. And then now we're kind of reconnecting again.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, he had lines.
He did.
He did okay.
Yeah. I didn't have any line. I had to go and push a guy out of the way on the phone and take his cigarettes from him without saying any words.
Do you have anything coming up music-wise other than the festival tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm actually doing a big, their big annual festival at Botanical Gardens coming up next month. You know, I'll be at the farmer's market doing a yoga in the morning, and then I'll also be Wednesday night too as well. I'm actually doing a couple Asian festivals playing my Asian flute. So one in Kakana for Asian Day in August, and then I'll be going out of Minnesota quota for their annual Asian festival in Minneapolis too as well. So,
all right. What's your favorite drive-through? I know you try not to eat that food. You had to eat.
You know, believe it or not, it used to be Sonic's, if you remember Sonic's from back in the day. But we don't have that anymore.
We don't have that here, right?
No. So now I actually don't go to fast foods no more. If I were to say a drive-through, I would say maybe. Oh man. Yeah. No, I don't think I got anything for you. Yeah. Everything I go, I either order it or I walk through the door.
Listen, I try to be that guy, but yeah. Once in a while. Like, if I haven't eaten since noon and I'm leaving here, I'm like, I gotta eat.
And that's fine. That's fine. Yeah. Just don't make it a habit.
Here's something I will say. I don't know. Hey, Conrad, what's our policy with talking about establishments? Can I mention your name, or is that going to get us in trouble?
I don't even know, to be honest.
Aren't you supposed to be, like, have a law degree to run the board back there?
I'm a law degree.
Counting on you for this kind of stuff. All right, Wendy says also she's playing the penny whistles now.
Yeah, so I actually just started. One of my good friends of mine and client, she's 100% Irish, and she's been getting me, you got to play the Irish flutes. And I would hear the penny whistle. They're really hot, loud, and I'm like, I don't know if that would fit meditation. But I'm learning that I can play the flute however I want. So I was able to take these high penny whistles and make it sound really sweet and really relaxing, believe it or not. So penny whistle, I would recommend the key of D and the key of B. Those go together really well.
Dude, you come back anytime you want. This was fun.
For sure.
All right. That's Chef Ace Champion. Good luck tomorrow. Have a fun trip to Madison, too.
You got it. Awesome. Leaving out playing a little pan flute.
All right. There you go. Terry Barr is coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. That is Chef Ace Champion.
What's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabba anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabba. I believe in
miracles. Wendy says, have a blessed night. You too, Wendy. Thanks for watching on the stream. And thanks for your comments. Did you have any idea there were that many different kinds of flutes, Conrad?
No, I did not.
I mean, I only play five of them, so.
I just got a text from my mom, and she said, you should ask him if he plays the didgeridoo. I did not see that until now.
What is that?
It's an Australian instrument, and when I went there when I was 10, I got one, and I still have it with me.
No kidding.
Never learned how to play it.
That is sinful, my friend.
It's really hard.
Never too late.
Yeah, I guess.
That's interesting. Bridget from the 818 checking in. Our question tonight, rank your favorite Seinfeld characters in terms of funny or whatever your barometer is. Mine is George, Kramer, Elaine, then Jerry. Conrad has no frame of reference. He has not seen Seinfeld. Don't be mad at him. He's young. He'll find it. You just found The Office, so you're charging through it.
And that'll put Jim at number one.
Jim, okay.
Jim Halpert is
Jim,
really
our access
funny
character. Yeah, absolutely. Bridget from the 818 says George, Jerry, Kramer, and Elaine. All right, that works. There's no right or wrong answers, folks. Don't be afraid to. And our question too was, should booze be allowed in movie theaters? Because New York just passed a law where they're going to serve cocktails in a movie theater, which could be a recipe for disaster. It could make a really bad film more enjoyable, or you could just have to get up and pee a lot and miss most of the movie. So a lot of options there. All right, we are going to pivot here, but we're going to stay with music because, as always, on Friday nights, not always, but most of the time, we have our good friend Terry Barr who stops by with some new music that she will feature tomorrow night and most Saturday nights on their show, Max Inc. and Live in the Lair. Do we have Terry?
Yes.
Terry, how are you?
Hey, hi, guys. I am good. And, you know, when we feature this music, honestly, people get the first listen to it.
Isn't that
on your
cool
show?
Yeah, I know. I love that. Well, we were just saying before, we are batting 1,000. Honestly, I don't, the bands you've brought to us, are all fantastic. And I listened last week, Terry, and the band that I discovered on your show was called Pulp. Something Pulp. Help me out.
Slow Pulp.
Slow Pulp. Love them.
Yeah, yeah.
Where did you find them?
They're terrific.
Where did you find them? They were great.
You know, but the main Live in the Lair was the Mascot Theory. They were
right.
The ones that were on for an hour.
I know.
But we played some Slow Pulp.
I heard the end of Live at the Lair, and then I heard after the news they came back, and that's where I heard Slow Pulp. I mean, I loved Mascot Theory. Like, you brought them here last week. They were great, too, but that Slow Pulp really just loved it.
Yeah. You know what? We might have to get them on your show.
Are they local?
I think it's Milwaukee. But I will dig into that for you because
please.
I'm not always sure when we get a lot of new music that the bands send to us with hopes that we'll play it. Well, of course, if it's a local band from anywhere in Wisconsin, yes, we want to play it. But I don't often get all the research behind it done by the time we get to play it. So I will check into them for you. I'm glad you like them, though.
Yeah, they were great. I heard like two or three songs, and then I moved on and did something else. But I did listen, and I often turn it on Saturdays, and I hear some good new music. I don't find new music, Terry, often enough. I have my standards, you know, all the...
Yeah, of course.
You know what I mean? Like, I like, and I have kind of eclectic tastes. I like some classical. I like old country, rock. I like, you know, some jazz. So... I'm always open to new music, but I rarely know where to go to find it. And that's what I love about your show.
Oh, good. Yay. And of course, you've probably noticed if you've been listening, we haven't had a chance to do the big celebration, but we have quietly expanded Max Inc. Radio on the weekend. So you don't get as many repeats of our live show. There's new music from 6 p.m. Saturday to 6 a.m. on Sunday, 6 p.m. Sunday to 6 a.m. on Monday now. And it's almost all different. Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. Boy, you guys, that's a lot of work. I'm impressed.
We're crazy, aren't we? But it's so great to highlight and showcase all these amazing Wisconsin-based bands. And we also now have time to interview artists, comedians, anybody that might be coming through the area. We've got time to showcase what they're up to as well.
Well, we're happy to help you showcase it in any,
well, thank you.
Yeah. Hey, we have, Wednesday, I don't have it in front of me. It's some kind of polka day on Wednesday or Tuesday. I'm sorry. The 23rd is some sort of polka milestone.
Well, it's actually the 29th.
Oh, it's the 20th. I could swear. What is it?
Okay, so I have a story out right now, and boy, this will teach me to do stories about polkas because this story has become a hit. What is happening is over this weekend, a lot of radio stations on the 21st are planning to play some polkas. Well, we jumped in on that idea, so we're going to be highlighting the entire story of why polkas mean so much to Wisconsin. 30 years ago in Pulaski, then Governor Tommy Thompson signed what designated the state dance as the polka. And he did it with a whole huge party happening in Pulaski. But that actually happened on April 29th of 1994.
Huh.
So we're just kind of recreating the memories of that and had a little clip from Mr. Thompson where he remembers what that day was like and what it meant to him. And he's so funny. He enjoys remembering that day like it just happened.
You know, I think there's room for everybody under the musical tent, but if you want to be like what you guys do on Saturday nights, that's so far removed from polka. You're doing music. A lot of it's cutting edge. I mean, if you're going to make your state that identifiable with polka, are you risking creating an identity where other musicians are like, well, I don't know about that. Because polka is very distinct, right?
Yeah, of course. But you know what? It goes back to the history of Europeans doing polkas way back in the early 1800s. So when they moved here as immigrants, they brought that dance with them. And obviously in Wisconsin, it's so ingrained. Pulaski Polka Days itself has been around for 45 years. And there's so many bands, young and old, that are all family bands. And it's just amazing. Alvin Stachinski was my dad's favorite. You got the Shabilsky brothers that are from Pulaski. You know, it just is really one of those, when you hear a polka, you can't help but smile and then watch people dance.
I want to change my name to Shabilsky. Is that wrong?
Isn't that a great name?
Okay.
And I think every letter in the alphabet is in that name.
Yeah, right. So, all right. So tell us about this week's artist.
Okay. This is Butter Brick. And what made me laugh so much learning more about them, their Facebook profile photo is a slab of butter. Now we're again talking really Wisconsin.
Right.
And I can't describe them more than they describe themselves. A three-piece power trio of buttery goodness, churning everything out from the dairy capital of the world. That is Butter Brick.
Oh my gosh, that's a great name.
Isn't that awesome? They met back during an open jam that happened in Madison at one of the Glass Nickel Pizza locations. In the basement used to be a little jam room, and they met back in 1994. They all belong, the trio, all three of the guys belong to other bands, but when they get this chance to get together and play, oh, they don't want to miss it.
Oh, that's so great.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah, I just love great stories behind. Conrad, let's fire up some Butter Brick. Hear these guys tomorrow night on Max Inc.
To show you the way through the door, you have to see me lying face down on the floor. Oh, I don't think you love me no more. We'll be right back.
So, Terry, you got, you guys are, you got some rockers tomorrow night.
What do you think? Was that buttery goodness?
Yeah, it did not sound buttery. It sounded like in your face kind of, right? Like eating nails.
Yeah, I think I got to take my earplugs. I'm getting old. And I always refuse to wear my earplugs, but these guys are going to be smashing that studio to pieces tomorrow night.
So where do they tour all around the state right now? Is that, are they touring?
They are this summer, but otherwise, believe it or not, they don't play together a lot. They're kind of a specialty piece, but they've got some new music. They've got some shows coming up, but still for them to want to continue to play together under the band name Butter Brick since 1994 is pretty darn amazing, knowing they also have other bands they play with and other jobs that they work.
That's so awesome. Have a great show tomorrow night. And
you
don't need earplugs. It's one night a week. Come on, Terry. Yeah. You're a rocker.
You are so right. And then next Friday when we talk, I'll be like, what? Yeah, right. I can't hear you.
I'll just talk louder. We'll get through it. We'll muscle through it.
All right. Great.
Thanks
you guys
so
have
much.
A great weekend.
You too, Terry. Have a great show tomorrow night. That's our oftentimes Friday guest, Terry Barr. Ed the Diver says, my Aunt Wendy was just on here. Oh, I wish I had known that, Ed. And his Aunt Shelley in Silent J says, hello, Pete, too. Gentlemen, how we doing? I hope they're holding down the fort in Marinette for me tonight. We'll be right back with some really cool stuff here on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Fixing up to go somewhere. So, it would appear the weekend, I'm just laughing at Ed's text because he said, my Aunt Wendy was just on here, couple emojis, and then he said, and my Aunt Shelley, exclamation point, almost like he's mad they didn't tell him. Yeah, they were a big part of the show, Ed. And now that Ed and Silent J have been on the show, Conrad, I picture like them always together, even though they're not like roommates. You know, it's funny. It's like they're like a team, like I don't know. Who's a team?
Batman and Robin?
Well, I don't know if they're superheroes, but
they definitely are.
Superheroes of the underwater. They're Aquaman. There we go.
Aquaman and who?
Aquaboy? Aquaboy should be a sidekick. Hey, Aquaboy. But he hates the water and he can't swim. I love it.
So
he just sits
on the beach.
That's right. That could be Silent J. Silent J sitting in the back of the pickup waiting for Ed to throw him lures, maybe. Something like that. I don't know. Let's write the script. So we've had this clip. I want to give people some recommendations here. Are you watching anything we need to talk about? How are you doing on Fallout?
I just got through the second episode.
Whoa. Kind of slowed down a little there, pal.
Well, like you said before, I'm on The Office. That's what I'm watching.
Okay.
I'm actually almost done with it.
That's more of a feel good than
it's
Fallout.
It's just so funny. You can get a laugh anytime you watch that.
Oh, it's great. Do you remember the one where Jim sent Dwight a fax from future Dwight telling him the coffee was poisoned? Just hearing Rainn Wilson's voice read future, signed future Dwight. So great. Oh, man.
I think my favorite prank that Jim pulls is when he wraps the desk and Dwight thinks the desk is actually wrapped in there, but he hit the desk too. It's just wrapping in the shape of a desk and he throws,
that's right.
He throws his
stapler
bag.
On the
desk
thing that looks like a desk. Yeah.
It just falls.
That's great. I forgot about that one.
Or the classic, you know, put a stapler in the Jell-O.
Stapler in the Jell-O. That one, I think, came from the British.
It did.
Did it? Okay.
Yep.
I thought so.
Because wasn't the first episode of the U.S. Office just a copy of the...
It was pretty close.
Yeah.
But the best song, one of my favorite scenes ever, is from the British Office. And one of my favorite songs, Free Love on the Free Love Freeway. Ricky Gervais, and we'll find that song. We got to play that Monday. It's so great. But so you would recommend The Office, I assume, but most people, yes, I think, that are listening have probably seen, yeah, The Office. So
I was late.
You know, if you're late to the party like Conrad, that's okay. I was late to the party with, well, you can't even be late to the party anymore. There's so, yeah, much content, you know, on so many different apps, you can't watch it all. So,
yeah,
you know, you kind of watch what's hot in the moment. And like, I'm watching this Under the Bridge. I've watched a couple episodes, but I want to give people two recommendations, and they're very different movies. One is Before Sunrise. I had not seen that. It's from 1994. It's a Richard Linklater film. He did Dazed and Confused and Boyhood. He's just a great filmmaker. And Before Sunrise is Ethan Hawke and Julie Delpy. They meet on a train and they spend a night walking around Venice, and that's it. But he does something else at the end that's really cool. Like, he shows the places where they've been, a museum, a cemetery, and they just bond. And I won't say how it ends. There's nothing in it that's going to make you feel weird or tense or anything. It's just two people talking and getting to know each other. Now, it's a trilogy. There's also Before Midnight, or Before Sunset, and then Before Midnight. They're all done like 10 years apart. And Boyhood, if that's another great Richard Linklater film, that took place over 12 years with the same actors. Unbelievably. Unbelievably, not risky, but like just edgy and cool to use the same actors. I love it. So Before Sunrise. And then Bob Odenkirk, who we talk about from time to time on the show, from Better Call Saul, Breaking Bad, Mr. Show, was in a movie that you would never expect Bob Odenkirk to be in called Nobody. And we have a clip from the movie. He is, as it turns out, a real badass as the film goes on. He looks like this regular guy. But do we have time to play this? We're okay, right?
Yeah, we got time.
All right. This is Nobody, starring Bob Odenkirk, in the scene where we find out just how much of a badass he is.
Agent Mansell, FBI.
I'm looking for old.
What? Your ID is a badge. Expired by about 20 years.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that ain't you in the photo. So, who are you?
I'm just a man who's looking for someone.
Yeah, well, you probably shouldn't flash cheese like that around here, bro.
There are three types of people who, as you say, flash cheese. People who don't know any better, people who are seeking to intimidate, and people like me who wish with every fiber of their being that someone would try to take it from them.
Thank you for your service.
You too, old timer. So any takers?
Bob Odenkirk's a treasure. Sometimes you could just go to an actor and look them up on IMDb or on the internet and just see the films they've done or the TV shows they've done. And they're so great at picking their projects that you know you can pick one of them and you're going to enjoy it because they don't make bad choices. There's just some actors that are like that. And Bob is very conscientious about what he does. Tony Goldwyn told me that once too. Tony Goldwyn said he was taught that by his grandfather. Your library of work is very important because it's kind of who you are. So there's your two recommendations, Nobody and Before Sunrise. Before Sunrise is kind of a retro one. Hey, this was fun. I'm glad everyone was with me tonight. This was so much fun on Nightlight. Great when you guys participate. Thanks for all your texts. Thank you to Chef Ace Champion for being in the studio. That was so much fun and kind of an education with the music and the cooking. And Terry Barr, as always. We will be back Monday night with Frank Anderson from Wisconsin Algae and some more, you guessed it, polka. That's coming up on Nightlight. We'll talk about anything. This is Pete Schwabe. For Conrad, we wish all of you a great weekend. Thanks for being with me on Nightlight. We'll be back Monday night. Good night, Wisconsin.
A dear upstart. It breaks my heart. From a teardrop fall.